answers.
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers.
I want the truth.
You can't handle the truth.
Dave Hodges is as mad as hell, and he's not going to take it anymore.
I'd like to help you, country, if I really would, but the din in my head, it's too much and it's no good. I'm standing in a window tunnel, shouting through the roar, and I'd like to give the information, asking for more. But blood makes noise. It's ringing in my ear. Blood makes noise. And I can't really hear you in the thickening of fear.
Common sense is not so common. This is the Common Sense Show with Dave Hodges.
Good Sunday evening, everybody, and welcome to another exciting edition of the Common Sense Show, where we are freeing America one enslaved mind at a time. I am your host, Dave Hodges, and I'll be with you for the next 3 hours, and we've got a variety of topics to cover. In the first hour, we'll be joined in just a moment by our good friend Doug Hagman of the Hagman and Hagman Report, and we're going to kind of be all over the map with current events, and we're going to take another peek into child sex trafficking. In the second hour, we're going to be joined by Charles Thorngren, and we're going to be talking a little bit about precious metals, what's going on in that market, what's going on with your cash, and what you need to be doing to get ready. Also, we'll be talking to financial expert Bob Kudla. I did a pre-record with Bob, and he's got some, telling things to say about the economy. And in the third hour, we're going to be talking about Ronnie McMullen. We're going to be talking to Ronnie McMullen from Get the Tea. You just heard his commercial. We're going to be talking about someone who he refers to as the Watchers. What can I mean by that? We're going to have to stay tuned to find out. And also, got a little treat for you here at the end. I've always had a fascination with history, and I really believe our history is incomplete. And I did a little pre-record on the pyramids, who built them, what I think, what my research found. I think you're going to find this interesting and provocative, and I'm hoping it'll stimulate some conversation, because we're going to repost this over in our YouTube channel, and I hope to draw some comments, because I think it's a topic that we ignore all too often. Anyway, here in the Common Sense Show, we are brought to you by BeCandid.com. Don't be one of those people that loses your job because you speak out at the wrong time. Some of you can't afford to do that. You're too close to retirement. We get that. But you have a burning, intense desire to be expressive. Well, go to BeCandid.com. And what you do there is simply register under the Common Sense Show, and you can be anybody you want. You can be President Obama. Well, you don't want to be Obama, but you can be whoever and whatever you want and express your views. BeCandid.com, place to go to retain your anonymity. Also, we're brought to you by Renaissance Precious Metals, our good friend Steve Quayle. Don't put off any longer converting your cash, soon to be worthless cash, into precious metals. Give Steve a call tomorrow, 406-586-4842. Again, that's 406-586-4842. And Bob Griswold, had a conversation with him last night, had exchanges of voicemails today. We've been talking a lot about North Korea. And Bob, you know, is the ultimate prepper site, readymaderesources.com. That's where you need to go to visit, readymaderesources.com. And let me tell you what he's got going on. He's putting up on display and prominently offering, at a very reasonable price, radiation products. With what's coming our way, with what the bankers have planned for World War III, you really think you're going to be out of harm's way with regard to radiation? I'm not taking any chances. You know, Bob and I talked last night about solidifying my order. He's got all kinds of radiation products, radiation prevention. You need to go check it out. It's all up there at readymaderesources.com. He's also doing a closeout sale on his PVS-30, which are night vision mounted sights for rifles. Also PVS-14, basic night vision. He's running out, and I'm telling you, the supply may not get replenished before we need them. So go to readymaderesources.com. And finally, we're sponsored by Numana Foods. And just let me say a word. If you're not sufficient in food, water, guns, gold, ammo, and medicine, you need to be. We can help you with the food. Go to numana.com/Hodges. Use the promo code Hodges, N-O-V-5. and you'll be able to take 5% off. And that's for our Common Sense Show audience. Well, anyway, here we are. A whole show ahead of us. Thanks so much to our sponsors for making this possible. We have Doug Hagman up with the Hagman and Hagman Report. I was on with Doug and Joe Friday night with Josh Tully, and we talked a lot about it's time for people who support the independent media. It's time for the American people who voted for the populism behind Donald Trump to get off their collective duffs and get back to work. And so, Doug, I was pretty blunt on Friday night, and welcome to the show, and glad you're back. I know you had a long drive. I appreciate you making it under the finish line.
Yeah,
so,
man.
We shook some trees on Friday night. I've gotten a lot of email on that show.
You know, it's it's interesting when you're able to talk without fear it's nice when you're able to talk and talk the truth regardless of where it might lead and who it might indict. And that's what I think you did and Josh Hawley did. And, you know, we are, and the issue Friday night, of course, was the issue of censorship. And I think we're seeing a lot of censorship, right now. And it's taking on different forms, of course. It's, we in the independent media, and I'll just call us independent media, have been taking on so much heat lately. You know, it's war out there. Whether it is being pushed down in rankings, search rankings, whether it's being made invisible in search rankings, shadow banning on social media, disenfranchised groups going after sponsors, striking at the heart of our revenue. It's a mess, and people don't realize what we're facing. And you know, Sean Hannity, this past week, and I mentioned this before, I'm going to mention this on your program in case anyone had not heard about this, but you know, Sean Hannity finally had enough of, what he termed serial stalkers. And, he had an incident last week where, in fact, someone appeared on a friend of mine's show at KFAQ out of, Tulsa. His name's Pat Campbell, and he had a guest on who accused Sean Hannity of, you know, if I say this, she suggested a level of sexual harassment. And of course, that statement was walked back. She denied saying it. It was, you know, well, he just made me feel weird. Ultimately, I don't care what anybody says. Okay, at the end of the day, it came off as an accusation of sexual harassment. And then, of course, you look at this person's record, and this person's has made accusations against me and so many others in the conservative media. And I was so glad when and this is all my personal opinions. And by the way, anyone who want to sue me for having an opinion, go for it. So you tell I'm a little bit chapped about things like this. But anyway, the fact of the matter is this. It is people like this who will take someone who is advancing the truth, in my view. In this case, Sean Hannity. Think what you will about Sean Hannity. You know, no one gets it right 100% of the time. No one goes as far as anyone wants to 100% of the time. I get that. I understand that. You know, sometimes we disagree. We among the people in the media, alternative media, we disagree sometimes. I understand that. But in certain cases, it's pretty clear that there's an agenda to take down, shut up, shut down the conservative, politically conservative media, the Christian media altogether, and by any means necessary, by all means necessary, whether it's just harassing 24/7 harassment, or whether it's issues, you know, legal suits, or whether it's going after sponsors, it all exists out there. So, you know, if I sound tired, I am, you know, because it's a fight 24/7. And I know, Dave, I know you've gone through it. I know other people have gone through it, and it's just sad that there's so much discord, this level of discord. And what makes it even worse is when self-proclaimed conservatives or self-proclaimed Christians get in on this and say, you know, I'm a Christian, that person's not doing it right, or that person's got it wrong, and then proceeds just to attempt to take the other person down. And we're seeing this more and more. We're seeing this happen more and more. And I said all that because we're in the midst of the biggest war already right now under the calm surface of the water. And if people knew what's happening to independent researchers, their revenue, their base of support just for speaking out, and how many people close shop. Just this past month or 2 months, how many people have closed shop? I think they'd be surprised. And it's, you know, there it is. And also, one more thing. I kind of touched on this. I said, you know, self-proclaimed Christians and self-proclaimed politically conservatives. It's amazing because they will hide behind that banner and say, look, I've supported, politically conservative causes. Yeah, perhaps up front you have, but you start peeling back layers and start understanding who these people are, and what they do, and how they do it and who they hang with. It's kind of like a prosecutor and a defense attorney in a courtroom that just came from the country club. They go to the courtroom and they go back out and play a round of golf. Okay, you know, in the courtroom, in front of the jury, they're sparring. Outside of that venue, they're best of buddies. They're best of friends. And that's what I see taking place. And in fact, I wrote an article about this very article today that appears on HomelandSecurityUS.com. So that's what I wanted to say about that issue. Did you get me started? Oh, that was about Friday too. Yeah, that was an issue, or that was the issue. We talked about censorship on Friday.
It is. What we're seeing now, I read an article today, 3 new venues to take the place of YouTube. No, it's not. The mistake we made, Doug, was, and we couldn't really foresee this, maybe we should have, but when we started out, we started using mainstream media outlets. And they didn't care if we used them because we were largely a joke. Very few people paying attention. And as we grew and our numbers reached a crescendo and we started taking away market share and we unenslaved the minds of the American public during the election, well, that was more than they could handle. So now we're at their whim and their mercy because we're using their platforms. And here's what people think mistakenly. They think that if they go to these alternative platforms, everything is going to be okay. Well, I'm sorry, but revenue is going to drive these platforms. And the revenue that drives YouTube primarily, 80% of their advertising dollars come from Wall Street. The biggest ones are the telecoms, and then you got the car dealers and so forth. And those are the ads that have been withdrawn from the people on YouTube. Now you have the occasional mom and pop bid ads they put up, which are much lower paying. And they can't afford to run that many ads anyway. So what you're going to end up with when you're in the new YouTube, so to speak, or the new Facebook, so to speak, what you're going to end up with are lot less revenue, lot less advertising, and you may have platforms that can't support themselves financially. Now, Doug, I do have one solution. If the people, and we can't marshal 10% to do very much of anything, but if we could get 10, 20, 30% of the people to do two things. Number one, never use Google as a search engine. Number two, never go to Facebook again. Number three, never go to YouTube again. And never do these social medias right now that are destroying the independent media. And then couple that with, instead of going to Ace Hardware, you go to Joe the Plumber Store. Rather than go to Walmart, Kmart, and the other slave marts, you go to Joe's convenience store. If we could get a significant number of Americans to create their secondary economy, irrespective of the global corporate economy, we could get their attention. Then we would ratchet this up and they'd have to come back with another strategy. What do you think about that?
Yeah, you know, it, in theory, that sounds really good, Dave.
That's it right there. In theory.
But try to get, you know, a group of people to agree or do anything together. Good luck with that. Google has been, almost, made into this. Well, I mean, Google is both a noun and a verb right now. It's ubiquitous. It's just everywhere. And, you know, the bottom line with this, they have the market share. They have, they, as a search engine and, you know, through their AdSense and through their other venues, they've got us all trapped, basically, or at least the, well, not all of us. I mean, I don't use Google search engine. I refuse to. But try to get the millennials, or the majority of the vast majority of the millennials, try to get anyone who's paying attention. Frankly, I'd love to walk away from the internet. Just walk away from it. But it's, unfortunately, I mean, I like to go back to the 70s or 80s when the internet for consumers didn't exist. But then one might argue, well, you'd be out of a job. Well, yeah, but, you know, knowing what we know now, perhaps we could, you know, start up a competitive outlet of sorts. But having said all of that, you know, can we look, the TSA, everyone complains, moans about the TSA, yet people still fly. If everyone stopped flying for a couple of days, said, no, I'm not going to fly, you know, because of the TSA, do you think we'd get their attention? I think the airlines might pay attention. I think the airlines who have the capacity to kick out the TSA and conduct their own security, I think perhaps that might do it. But will it happen? Yeah. No, I don't think so.
No, Doug, you're sounding too much like Dave Hodges. Stop it right now.
Yeah. Well,
I'm going to put on my Doug Hagman hat, and
we
can't marshal enough people to do it. Here's how I feel. Okay, I'm defending the beach. I've got my 50 caliber machine gun. The enemy is coming. The drawbridge is down. They're running off their LSTs, and I'm firing away. And as long as I got bullets, I'm going to keep firing. I know eventually I'm going to get bombed from the air or get overrun or I'm going to run out of ammo. But I'm going to keep firing. So let's fire some bullets tonight.
Well, okay. And by the way, I agree. You know, it's easy to kind of, you know, I'll take some cheese with my wine right now. No, you know, it's easy to just look at things and say, oh man, you're just not going to, but you're right. We have to take, since we still have the ability, we're still sucking air. Praise God. We still have the ability to use the internet. Praise God for whatever, at whatever level that might be. Let's use it, and let's keep shooting until we run out of ammo. And when we run out of ammo, let's use our armaments as, you know, weapons themselves. And when anything that's available to us, I agree with you. And shame on me for kind of you know, sounding a little bit horsewhipped today. But wow, it's, you know, it's just to talk with people out there. They've got no clue what's going on, and that is kind of frustrating. But let's fire some bullets. Absolutely.
But you know, and we'll get to the bullets one second. I want to just dovetail on what you just said. That is so important, Doug. You said that people don't know what's going on. You're right. What people don't realize, number one, is conservative media is gone from mainstream media. It's gone. Fox News has now become CNN 2.0. And in fact, Mediaite is reporting, and I just did a podcast on this, they're trying to start a conservative news station. Sorry, where's your advertising going to come from? Same problem as we have. You're not going to get it because Wall Street's not going to back you. So Fox is gone. You've lost your conservative voice in the mainstream media, and the independent media is going to be decimated at the current rate. That's not going to be gone. So what we're going to have is constant propaganda bombardment from the powers that be. And you're going to have good little sheep produced that will be like Stepford Wives and will do exactly as they're told. There'll be about 8 to 10% of the people sitting on the outside going crazy, but they're going to wish they did more. And we're going to go down the tubes because without a network like Fox and without what we do, Doug, game's over. The game's over because once they have your mind, they have your actions, and it's fait accompli. And people say, oh, Dave, you're being so negative. Well, I don't see how I'm being negative. Drop me a line and tell me the right way to see it.
And you know something else, Dave, and I was talking to Steve Quayle about this on Friday, these little ankle-biting morons out there, okay, that do nothing but they're miserable crusty human beings, okay, who call themselves whatever, you know, morally upright conservatives or you know, Bible-believing, true Bible-believing Christians who act like Christians. These ankle-biting morons, these intellectual hobbits out there, okay, that do nothing. They exist only to cause discord among those attempting to unify the body and to create something like you're talking about. Okay, it's those people whom I detest, and I say to them, you know, your lives are sad. They're empty. They must be. Okay, I used a German word in the article I published today. I'm not going to say it in German, but it references people who derive pleasure out of seeing someone else fall. We have far too many of those people in this world today. And we have far, but see, the issue is, if you bring a better idea, then that's one thing. If you just exist to tear down others, that's something totally different. You know what I mean? And we have Antifa for that. We have RevCom for that. We have the opposition research groups by the fruitcakes like David Brock.
Fruitcakes?
Good term. I was going to say the other F word. I was contemplating.
I know.
That silence there was me thinking whether I should say that.
This is a family show.
I understand. They call themselves that. But here's the deal, okay? They exist solely to tear down the opposition. And to push their utopia, their communist utopia. But we have them outnumbered. If people would just get off their butts and play their positions, we have them outnumbered. The Christians, the true Christians, have the moral degenerates outnumbered. Wake up! Do something! Get off your derriere.
Yes. Okay? Yes. Or derriere. Good choice of words.
Todd, settle down, man. Get away from the red button there. Okay. We're okay.
I could hear that 7-second delay coming in. Something else that it's bothering me now, and this is what I had mentioned earlier to you, Doug, off air. You and I spent a lot of political and professional capital helping Donald Trump get elected. And I'm not jumped off the Trump ship, but I'm not going to be a Pollyanna. This man is compromised. His presidency is compromised. We're living under the house of Jared Kushner. He's controlling foreign policy. It's a sad state of affairs when a thug like Vladimir Putin is sounding like the peacemaker of the world, where he came out today and said, why can't we just sit down and talk this out? We don't want to go to any nuclear options. We don't want war. This is reasonable. And we're hearing Putin say this. Where's Trump? Why is Trump enriching the bankers? See, Doug, it's my position, and no one has to agree with it, but you got three non-central bank countries left. You got North Korea, Iran, and you've got Cuba. Syria is the key to taking down Iran. So you have to include the Syrian conflict as a central banking conflict, the same as Libya was, and North Korea, the same as Libya was. And when they all have us under their house of Rothschild, that's when the real fun's going to start, people. And that's what this war is about. North Korea, and I've concluded from talking to my military experts, Doug, North Korea could do some damage, but they're not enough of a threat to take the risk they would have to take to inflict damage on us, because they would be a parking lot in 60 minutes. And they got China against them. I don't buy this nonsense that it's Iraq all over again. It's the weapons of mass destruction argument, motives unproven, unknown. This is all about central banking cartels, and Donald Trump is being dragged around by his nose.
Yeah, you know what? The first 100 days, and I read the transcripts of what he said about his first 100 days in office, and I mean he's done some good things, but when you look at in totality, you look at the geopolitical venue. I mean, it was the good stuff that he's done, for example, canceled restrictions on the production of oil, national gas, and coal, yes, clean coal. What he's done on immigration and criminal enforcement. What he's done with respect to, vetting the visa and streamlining the visa processes, reforming those to substantially improve vetting and screening, launching prototypes, bidding for the border wall. That's there. Is it built? No. Is it started? No. Obviously. And when you look at the promises broken, however, the decisions of policy decisions being transparent, rarely leaving the White House for, for vacations, that's kind of out the window. And then you come into the other more important things, and that involves world conflict. I am concerned about this. I'm extremely concerned about this. Now, let me just say one thing, however. I do know for a fact that a lot of what is said and what is done at the White House position is a lot of the observations are being massaged by organizations, for example, like ShareBlue, which is which bills itself as an American media company. It's all infused throughout our media. And they claim with their mission statement, very simple, is they produce practical, factual content to delegitimize President Trump's presidency and embolden the opposition and empower the majority of Americans to fight. That's their mission statement. It used to be Blue Nation Review, and of course it's owned by David Brock, who also owns Correct the Record and such. So they've got a stranglehold on certain choke points on information on the internet. So yes. I truly believe that in my view anyway, antagonism toward Donald Trump in his first 100 days is fueled mostly by organizations like ShareBlue, Brock's organizations, and the opposition research I spoke of. However, you're right as well. Okay, you're looking at the Federal Reserve banking. This goes back to the PNAC document, doesn't it? It goes back to the late 1990s or the 1990s when or to early 2000s. I'm not sure which. When the military-industrial complex said these are the countries we're going to take over, and we're seeing it happen before our eyes. So who in the hell's in power?
It's the House of Kushner. And who does Kushner serve? He serves George Soros. That connection has been well established.
Sure.
So
yes.
George Soros, in my book, is effectively running the White House.
Dave, why is Kushner there, man? I want to ask you this. Why I was going to ask you this Friday. Why is Kushner there? It's by the invitation of Trump, right?
It's a mystery, isn't it?
Yeah. Seriously, if my son-in-law was acting that way, I'd take him up to the woodshed, all right? Because I can, because I'm older. What the heck is going on with Kushner?
Kushner serves Kushner. And Kushner's best interests are served by serving Soros. How many hundreds of millions of dollars does he have tied up in Soros? Well, I think we know about $325 million. And where there's smoke, there's fire, there's a whole lot more. And then Ivanka Trump, she certainly is not loyal to the cause, so to speak, she's actively supporting what her husband is doing. I'm thoroughly disgusted with this administration's lack of direction. And let me explain, because hand the mantle to me. Here's what Hodges would do. The first thing I would do is what I said to you about 2 months ago. I would line up by the thousands State Department people appointed under Obama, gone. You're gone. You're fired. We don't want your liberalism. I'd do the same thing with the FBI. Comey should have been out the day after inauguration. I would line up the FBI, and I would get rid of the liberal ones by profile. I don't care if it sounds right or fair or decent. We're talking about saving the government. I would have done a complete purge of the deep state as far as I could have gone, and I would have done that in the first 72 hours I'd have been in office. And then you have their attention. Then you replace them with people who are like you and me, who will come in. And I could really give a crap about experience. I want someone who could read the Constitution, interpret it, and then carry out your policies.
Right.
And that to me, Doug, is what I would have done. And that did not happen. And
no.
He didn't even attempt to make it happen. In fact, what he did, he didn't drain the swamp. He restocked the swamp one bankster at a time.
Yeah, I get it. And I'm disappointed in many ways with him. But what about Congress? See,
yeah, you know, I've been beating that horse too.
Yeah, this is what bothers me as well. I get what's wrong in the Oval Office, but you mentioned the Constitution. We're a constitutional republic. The executive branch is not really tasked with making laws. The Congress is. So what the heck? To make laws, to declare war, to cancel out laws. We don't do that usually by executive order. We do it through Congress. Where the hell is Congress? Why has Congress been so quiet? We own the conservative, well, maybe not. At least the Republicans own the both houses, and the executive branch. Why has nothing been done?
Well, I have an answer from the Hodges corner of the world. I don't know how universal this answer is. But this is where I blame the people. The same people that aren't stepping up to take on YouTube and Google from the general public are the same people who voted for Trump who are not putting pressure on Congress. I wrote repeatedly before Trump ever took office. I wrote before he was ever elected. I said, should he be elected, he'll face the biggest two-year quagmire in the history of this country. Why? Because every one of those bastards in Congress is on the take from free traders, from the corporates, from the banksters, from the military-industrial complex. And this is what Trump has promised to change. They're not going to give up their gravy train. So unless we make it clear to them as a public, we're going to unelect all incumbents that are up for re-election in 2018, Trump isn't going to get anything done. Well, that's our fault because we haven't kept the pressure on. We didn't let them know. These people in Congress are whores. They're streetwalkers. If we put pressure on them and they thought they were going to be out of office, they'd shift sides quicker than you could blink.
Well, again, it depends on the numbers. And, you know, what do you do? Most people are too busy working 20 hours a day or 18 hours a day or 16. Or have double income families because out of necessity, regardless. I understand that. To play, you know, the Antifa game or the RevCom game where they go out and they make noise. However, I do believe that we need the conservatives and the Republicans to go up and to, retake our town halls, retake our representatives. And I think that I agree with you. We need to do that. And shame on us for not doing it so far. And shame on us for not pressuring, everyone, including the executive branch, to get working on things right away. Maybe I'm looking at this a little bit differently. I mean, I do see where, again, in fairness, just imagine for a moment if Hillary Clinton would have won. Oh my goodness.
We're better off.
Yeah.
I'm whining and complaining, and you're absolutely right, Doug. Donald Trump hasn't fulfilled his promises to the American people to the level that he should be. However, he did save us from the wretched witch of the West. No question
yes.
about it.
And you know, that there are things that Donald Trump promised to do, for example, in the, or protect religious liberty, and that's a little iffy, and of course, his other, Multiple initiatives on immigration have been blocked by the courts, and those are lies. We know that. I mean, the courts, in theory, should not be able to do that. At least constitutionally, should not be able to do what they've done. But the answer to that is go push it through Congress. I mean, he's got the way to do that. But anyway, but yes, I agree. So looking at it from a geopolitical perspective, North Korea, they're hot on the nuclear button right now. Syria, which you've mentioned, I agree. Apparently, we are going to be going hot in Syria, you know, as and North Korea.
We sent troops to the Syria and Turkey border.
Yeah.
The Russians are stalking Syria with combat troops. It's a matter of time. I've said this repeatedly, and this is more biblical than it is anything else, but it's not North Korea that's going to plunge the world into the Third World War. It's going to be Syria.
I've long said that. Yep. Yeah, but you know, I think one of the greatest threats from to the U.S. mainland would come from a an EMP blast from a China, you know, complements of the Chinese via North Korea or other nation states acting as proxies. But that doesn't mean necessarily that a third world war is going to start from that. I would suspect more it's starting from Syria, in the because Russia has the military interest in Syria, the warm water port of Tartus, the minerals, the pipeline. But you know, it goes back. We're still doing the bidding of the Saudis, and I think that people have to understand where this direction is coming from. And it's interesting too that you've got the Saudis and in Israel, as much as it pains me to say this, you've got those two countries siding with regime change in Syria, which is against the Russians. But it, you know, in the same line, we're on the wrong side in this whole thing, and Donald Trump is superintending that wrong side. You know, he's pushing that wrong side. So
how'd they get to him, Doug? In your estimation, Trump has clearly been, I think, threatened with impeachment. Assassination. How did they get to him? How did he lose his focus and capitulate to what's going on now?
I wish I knew. You know, that's a great question. I would imagine at that level. I truly believe it. When you get to that level of being a candidate on one of the two-party platforms, they've got you right. As soon as you are a candidate, they already have you. I believe, and maybe this is really fickle of me to believe.
I think you're right.
But I don't think you would be allowed to be on the two-party tyrannical system unless the deep state, shall we say. Well, I guess that's it's kind of a phrase that's taken on different meaning of late, but you know, the only reason for your existence, in my view, is the deep state allows you to exist in that position. That's what I believe. So how did they get to him? I think they got to him long before he ever darkened the doorstep of the Oval Office, or you know, went through the door of the Oval Office. I think we saw that too. With what happened with Flynn and other individuals close to Donald Trump. So, having said that, but I do believe in my heart of hearts, I do believe that Donald Trump is probably wrestling with doing the right thing, keeping his promises. I think he's a man of ideas and ideology that he's not going to part with very freely, and I do believe, and of course it's already a matter of record that you know, they're trying to start impeachment proceedings against him right now, but I don't think that's gonna end well, and I think that you know, even the process, to start the process under the what would be the citing his mental acuity, citing his mental state as being perhaps one of the major issues, the perceived instability. As crazy as that sounds, we've had worse in the much worse in the office, from Johnson of current memory to many people before that. But
if you want some historical perspective on what Trump is facing, let's go back to John Kennedy and the three primary reasons that a lot of researchers give for his assassination were the silver certificates that went against the Federal Reserve, and the parallel there with Donald Trump is what he wants to do to restore the national economy and make it debt-free. That runs as an antithesis against the debt enslavement coming out of all central banks. And then you've got the military-industrial complex desire to beef up nuclear arms. That was one in the Kennedy era, and he announced in his American University speech 5 months before his assassination that he was going to go the opposite direction. And, of course, within 2 months of his death, we had the single biggest increase in nuclear arms production in American history. And then, of course, there's the ubiquitous Vietnam. Chrysler Corporation got 90% of all middleman defense contracts owned by the Rockefellers. Bell Helicopter owned by the Rockefellers. And they got their 10-year war of enormous profit for the banks and for the military-industrial complex. And if you look at what's going on with Korea, every one of those issues has been addressed. The military-industrial complex is winning. The bankers are going to win because they're going to eliminate a non-banking central banking state. And then, of course, the Federal Reserve eliminates all the competition from the BRICS nations when Iran goes down after they attack and conquer Syria, because the BRICS will no longer be able to buy oil for gold. That preserves the petrodollar and preserves central banking. The parallels between Kennedy and Trump are so stunning, Doug. It's almost like you could switch the names and they'd be the same person in different eras.
I can see a lot of parallels between Kennedy and President Donald Trump, and I do believe that there, in some cases, there's a lot of erroneous parallels that exist. But I can see certain parallels, and I think that if they can't take him out normally, because especially if he goes off of his leash, which they've put him on, I can see a Kennedy-esque style exit taking place, but that would come at great expense in my view, and I think that they're trying to do this through articles of impeachment, but even at that, I don't know, but it doesn't matter if what we say, and I suppose we go back to this, if what we say that the deep state does control things far beyond what the man sitting in the Oval Office controls, then my question is, does it matter? Because if we believe what we say, you and I, that deep state controls things, why would they need to exit stage left Donald Trump? And I suppose, I suppose there could be reasons. You had Obama, for example, 8 years of Obama. Obviously, biased towards Islam and Muslims and anti-religion. So, one can excuse what we are seeing here with immigration, with the Muslim alien invasion, and blame it on Obama, whereas the deep state has clean hands. And I suppose that would, that answers my question, I suppose. But no, you're right. I mean, so my question to you, it's kind of like me interviewing you in a sense. What do you see taking place with this then? What do you see taking place? What's going to pop first? Syria? North Korea?
It's going to be Syria.
Okay.
I'll tell you what I think is going to happen in North Korea. I think it's going to be SEAL teams taking out leadership. That's been my suggestion all along. I think this is a big blustering show of force. But I think the real military action lies in Syria, and it'll be over no-fly zones and troops in the same proximity to each other, and one thing leads to another, and pretty soon you got World War III. That's where it's going to be.
I see Turkey played a big role in this too, by the way. Sorry.
Well, they're in it for what they can get. There's no question. And Turkey is hoping to help carve up the empire that's created by this war. I see them as being parasitic and opportunistic, which is why they're going along with this. I mean, what they just take? Another 130 F-35s for delivery?
Right.
And, I mean, the arms race is on. This is what the American people aren't seeing, because they're not seeing it on their regular TV. Israel just took possession over 100 more F-35s. Turkey took a second batch of 135 F-35s. Folks, this is called an arms race. This is a precursor to armed conflict. They're not straining national budgets because they got nothing better to do with their money. They're going to war and they know it.
Yeah. When you look at it that way, when you see the burgeoning military-industrial complex, the people that are making the money from this, even the mercenaries out there, the private contractors that are the mercs out there that are fighting in the arms contracts and such, and the rat lines, especially the rat lines. When you see the arms and the money and the drugs and the child trafficking, all of these rat lines across North Africa and all across the Middle East and into South and Central America and Mexico. It's big business. You're absolutely right. And people have to really people need to follow the money and understand that the rat lines exist. And at the both ends of the rat lines, you've got the end users, of course, the people with the people receiving whatever it might be, the weapons, the drugs, the money, the oil, the sex, whatever it might be, on both sides of these lines. And I think that, people really need to study that to understand, that there's really no turning back. I don't really think there's any turning back from the trajectory that we find ourselves on. And that includes both the Syria and North Korea. But I agree with you about Syria. I think Syria is going to be the critical flashpoint that's going to change everything. And I've said that for years. That's what Benghazi was all about. And I think that and it's amazing how many people even today either don't know really what Benghazi was all about, or they refuse to even discuss the true nature of what happened in Benghazi. And that part and parcel to that, of course, was not just Obama, but my goodness, Hillary Clinton and all of the globalists surrounding Clinton and Obama. And I know it's almost like I'm a broken record at times. But really, to understand what's going on today, people need to understand what's been happening over the last really 25 years, 50 years, and really you have to go back to World War I to really understand what's taking place today. So that's you're right, man. I mean, it's wow. You're right.
Doug, one more thing.
Perhaps Donald Trump, being the businessman that he is, might be able to massage the allies that we have to deal with, or at least mitigate the North Korean threat. But that, again, leaves the Syrian threat, which is ever so exposed. Go ahead, sir.
No, you're absolutely right. I look at it this way, too. I mean, what I've learned from Donald Trump's presidency, it wouldn't have mattered if it was Donald Trump or Doug Hagman or Dave Hodges. We would all be compromised. The deep state is too deep. It's too pervasive.
Compromise your debt.
Exactly. And I have a little different mentality. I wouldn't have gone along to get along, which I think Trump has done. I probably would have said, I'll take the bullet. I think you would have said the same thing, because I would have started firing people on day one. Comey would have been my first casualty. I would have prosecuted Clinton on the first Monday after the inauguration. I would have said, yeah, you elected me to do these things. Now, having said all that, it's water under the bridge. We are where we are. The average person out here is sitting, well, what does this mean for us? And what I think it means for us is this, is that we do have one political option left. And the political option we have left is not to reward the prostitutes in Congress that have ripped us off for so many years. They've given us their crappy health care. They've given us a crappy infrastructure, a weakened military, a decimated economy, and nothing but corruption and anti-Christian laws and behaviors. I think we need to reward them with unelecting all of them. Okay, I don't know that that's going to have an effect on the overall outcome, but I'd like to see just desserts. Number two, I do think we have the possibility of having a spiritual revival. Do I think it's likely? No, I don't. But then I don't put limits on God. You're right, Doug. We can't change the trajectory on what we're on, but God can. But God is not going to open his arms to this nation under judgment because of our hedonistic ways. We have to truly get on bended knee, beg for forgiveness, ask for God's guidance. He could turn things around. The spiritual part of it is still very much an option, and every person listening to my voice has the ability to make this happen. We're not dependent upon Jared Kushner's and George Soros staying out of the White House for that. God can overcome all. And then the third thing I think people need to be thinking about is, if you don't think your neighbors are going to join you in spiritual revival and you know beyond unelecting Congress, you don't have a lot of options. You need to hear what I'm saying very carefully. Food, water, guns, ammo, gold, medicine, allies. That's what it's going to come down to. And the sooner you wake up and realize it, the better off you're going to be and the greater your chances for survival.
Well said. I like that. I like the spiritual aspect of it, and you're exactly right. And I think that that's people really need to understand that and embrace that. The spiritual aspect and, of course, the preps that you referenced. And, you know, all politics, really, I think we have to look at it that rather than try to slay the dragon in the manner in which we're trying to slay the dragon, think locally and act locally and get involved on a local level, because that's where we are going to overtake more ground. And as we get stronger and have the right people in on a local level, and if enough areas do this, we will prevail on a much larger federal level, local, state, and then federal. And I think we can do that.
Couldn't agree with you more, my friend. This is, we've drawn some lines in the sand tonight, and if it's made people in the audience uncomfortable, I'm sorry. I do want you to be comfortable. I want you to enjoy coming to listen to our show, but sometimes it's our obligation to you to push the needle, and hopefully we've made you think. Even if you don't agree with us, if we've made you think. Doug, we got 30 seconds. Tell people how they get a copy of your book, Stained by Blood.
Well, if you really want to be uncomfortable, go ahead and order my book. Thanks, Dave. And by the way, I really did not want, it was not my intent to make anyone feel uncomfortable, and especially, during your program. But no, thank you. Stained by Blood, just go to Amazon, or if you'd like a signed copy, go to stainedbyblood.com, fill out the form on the right, and one will arrive in your mailbox forthwith. And I really appreciate, Dave, your time and your leading the charge in this war, of information, this information war.
Well, we're in a fight for our lives, whether people want to recognize that or not. And if people, and I think I would just make this one analogy. If you don't think that things can deteriorate to the point that I just insinuated, look at Venezuela, where the average person has lost 20 pounds in the last 3 weeks. They'll use food as a weapon against us, folks, to subjugate us. There'll be a point where America will wake up and say no more, but if they have control of all the mechanisms, we're not going to be able to fight back.
True.
That's, anyway, Doug Hagman Show, Hagman and Hagman Report, Doug and Joe. They air right here on this great network, Global Star Radio Network, from, Doug, I just drew up like 7 to 10 p.m. Eastern.
I drew
Monday through Friday.
That's right, 7 to 10 Monday through Friday.
7 to 10 p.m., yeah.
Right here on the Global
Star. I'm trying to keep track of all these, as the cognitive processes age, keeping track of the time zones becomes more difficult. Anyway, my friend, we are out of time. Thanks so much for joining us. Good luck at your upcoming conference, and we'll be talking to you soon.
Thank you, my brother, and thank everyone for listening. God bless.
We'll be back in hour number two with Charles Thorngren. We're going to talk about precious metals, and also on the heels of that, we're going to talk to Bob Kudla on the state of the economy.